Hello, good evening. As you are tuned to the program Truth to Power. Truth to Power is a program that is designed to bring to the fore trending issues in different parts of Nigeria, most especially in some of our vulnerable and communities. And the program is aimed at looking at how we can reduce the stress that they are going through, and of course, how to put smiles on their faces. My name is a Peacemaker, and on the program today, we will be looking at some of these vulnerable communities in Northern Nigeria, most especially the communities that are hard to reach and communities that I would say are predominantly of a particular religious faith. And of course, they are agrarian in nature, unfortunately, because the attacks that they are having and the issue that they are having majorly are from, unfortunately, two herders. So, on the program, Truth to Power, this is actually the maiden edition. We'll be looking at these issues, bringing to fore what these problems are, and of course, how we can help to provide solutions to them. I am sure it is no longer news that there are serious attacks happening in the Middle Belt region of Nigeria, which is also flowing into other parts of Nigeria. But basically, the major issues that we're having are issues between farmers and herders, primarily. Though some people give it different coloration, and they are justifiably correct in giving it these colorations. Some say it is a religious cleansing that's happening in the Middle Belt of Nigeria, while some call it ethnic cleansing. And in most of the areas where these attacks have happened in recent times, it's actually agrarian, Southern Kaduna communities, Plateau communities, and of course, communities in Benue State. And all of this is bringing to fore the reason why people want to believe that it goes beyond just a communal clash. Most often than not, these attacks and issues happen between these communities and Fulani herdsmen. These Fulani herdsmen, who are predominantly Muslims, attack these communities that are predominantly Christian communities. Yes, some people call it some form of genocide, some call it ethnic cleansing, but one thing we cannot take away is the fact that these things are happening, and they are happening every day. On the program today, we shall be exploring a particular community in Kaduna State. And standing by from Southern Kaduna to speak with me is a gentleman. For now, maybe he may not want to disclose his name because of the sensitive nature of the program and because of the fact that most often than not, those that come out to speak truth to power always get themselves harassed, bullied, or clamped down. While some people don't mind revealing their true identity because we cannot shy away from the fact that these attacks are real and true, let's invite my guest on the program this evening to join us. Good evening, and how are you this evening?
Very well, I'm fine and thankful. Thank you so much for putting out a very bold initiative that would address issues and needs around vulnerable, marginalized groups within our society today.
All right. If I may ask, what part of the world am I speaking with you from?
Well, you're speaking with me from Jamal local government. Jamal local government is one of the eight local governments within the Kaduna South Senatorial District, also the major part of Southern Kaduna. Yeah.
Okay, a major part of Southern Kaduna. All right. First of all, give us an idea. Is there a problem of attacks in Southern Kaduna?
Well, yeah, there are issues of attacks in Southern Kaduna, and in some instances, it's quite difficult to differentiate between attacks and criminality, because there is the issues of kidnapping just happened about two nights ago at Final Kamata Junction to Kamuru, somebody was kicked out from his home, and for the community, it was more or less an attack because there were people who were new to the community, up to the street, came in and picked up somebody from within the community. That aside, there are also parts of the roads you cannot really travel conveniently from Katu crossing to Kamuru. You have to get to Kamata, that is ahead of Kachia, before you are able to find your way to Kamuru, because the road leading to Kamuru from Katu crossing is actually one that there is no guarantees around safety. And then you consider also the vandalism that is ongoing along our farmers, vandalism on their food crops, their tree crops, perennial crops, you know, seasonal crops and what have you. You know, these things happen unchecked. There is really no efforts at or mechanism even in place to arrest the situation. And most of the times, these issues do generate to insecurity involving attacks and reprisals.
Okay, now, talking about security put in place, because as it seems now, it is a recurring decimal. It happens all of the time, and people go back, lick their wounds, and as they are trying to recover, it happens again. Is it that these issues, the government, do you feel the government is doing enough to address the issues concerning these attacks that happen in these vulnerable communities?
Well, when you consider the mobilization of forces, their deployment at flashpoints, the time frame within which they are situated there and what they are expected to respond to, you say that indeed government is responding. But again, when you come back to the part around the fact that if these are criminal activities, if these are activities that are outlawed by the laws of Nigeria, her constitution, then there is also the weakness and unwillingness of government to enforce laws and regulations that would ordinarily, if unchecked, you know, would degenerate to insecurity. And then, despite all of the deployments mentioned and coordinated, well-designed security operations that are said to be both kinetic and non-kinetic by nature, you would also consider the response time to attacks and incidences of attacks that happen. Some of these attacks, I must say, community members are aware that attacks will happen before they happen, by way of the fact that probably earlier there were notices, you hear about notices being dropped that something of this nature could happen. Communities could also have reported to institutions of state security. Despite all of that, when the DD of the attack happens, you find that the response time is within the range of about 4 hours. And 4 hours is usually just enough time. I mean, if people come with enough firepower, round up a community, and unleash mayhem with unlimited ammo that can last that period of operation, certainly lives and properties can surely be lost. So you consider the incidences of where these things are happening, the proximity of the response stations of state that ordinarily should count for something like this, you would find that yes, there is a time lag that says whether in Kuje or in Chukun or in Zikpak is in right inside the Jama local government, inside Kafanchen town precisely. Zikpak has installations and security outfits that should respond to any issue in that area in less than 12 minutes, if by mechanical mobility. But notwithstanding, when Zikpak was hit, it was such a success because the carnage was massive, properties were vandalized very well, and then you would find that the response time of security operatives was really far beyond 4 hours.
Okay, now let us put it to perspective now. The location of the closest security formation that can intervene whenever there's an attack, let's put it in kilometers or miles. What's the distance like between those places? Then we'll also juxtapose it with the time that it would take.
Okay. Like this particular location I'm talking about, when you talk about Zipak, Zipak has within a 3 kilometer radius to it a squadron of a mobile police force. And then about 5 kilometers away from it, it has what is one of the military or army barracks that was established by the former chief of army staff, General Buratai, Tukur Buratai. And then these formations are also having other checkpoints, or better, yes, checkpoints where security barricades that shows that anybody, vehicle moving in and out within the community is checked, you know, to just preempt any event of perhaps aiding and facilitating the movement of security operations issues, you know, that could be detrimental to the people. But notwithstanding, so I'm talking about even those kind of barricades we're talking about are barely 2 kilometers from the point of incidence, what we consider Zipak as a place. And then you have other issues around Kajuru. Kajuru is strategically in the suburb of what is Kaduna's center, in terms of what makes up Kaduna as a central metropolitan community. The military installations there are enormous. You have an Air Force base. You have ahead before it a military barrack that is more of a brigade. You have also ahead of it an artillery school and with its own facilities all in place. But notwithstanding, these are areas that farmers cannot sleep at night. Communities are indeed displaced. Only the ones who have signed up to live and pursue their livelihoods, notwithstanding the challenges that they are faced with, you know, are staying back to live in these communities. And how they sleep, how they live, are issues that cannot be told except by them who actually go through that experience on the day.
All right. Looking at all of this now, and with the response that, just like you said, may not be too impressive from the government or state apparatus that that have saddled with the responsibility of providing security for communities, what now would you say is the fate of people living in these communities in respect of attacks coming from people?
Well, what is quite obvious is the fact that notwithstanding the sad developments that have lingered, you know, these are incidences that have been happening right from 2011, 2012, and then they got worse from about 2016. And then notwithstanding these realities, the communities that are being hit by such insecurity challenges and attacks that are involving, that are of the nature of banditry or terrorism, do not still have the necessary infrastructure to reduce their level of vulnerability. Areas that are not motorable, of course, in the past 8 years and counting, there have been no initiatives to build roads to make those places accessible enough even for effective responses. And then the issues of putting together a mechanism that can help address criminality when the result or the outbreak of law and order, that is about the issue of vandalism, theft, and all of these issues that involve more of the within the microcosm are being overlooked. So certainly now livelihoods are at risk. Early child development is actually not something that we want to talk about now, because you have most of these children living far from their homes, far from their families, far from the people who are really responsible to provide them the needed care they deserve. You also have issues of education and healthcare service delivery not being optimally realized, and so human capital development is already in jeopardy. You also have the rising issues of climate change, land degradation that are resulting as a result of this, because certainly when these people get displaced, people come to occupy their space, come to carve out whatever it is that they have. There are also instances where you go back to see those communities that are sacked or better put under very high tensive atmosphere of apprehension and insecurity, involving kidnappings, incident attacks, vandalism of food crops and the farms. In no distant time, you find solid minerals exploration and exploitation activities happening in those spaces, and so it gives the kind of coloration that perhaps the problems are also more multi-dimensional than just issues of a farmer had a kind of clash, because certainly there are other economic crises that are developing, you know, around the same issues.
All right, thank you so very much. You are listening to the program Truth to Power, a program that is designed to bring to the fore issues happening in vulnerable communities across Nigeria. And today, our primary focus is Kaduna State, and we are getting feedback from Southern Kaduna from one of our resource person that has been giving us insight into what's happening there. For those that are interested in calling into the program, the number to dial is 0809-464-6206 and 0809-799-1989. The program is Truth to Power and is coming to you from Procyon Radio and Television. It will be a regular feature henceforth, and if you have questions, queries, or you want to contact us, just send a WhatsApp message to the number 0809-799-1989. I'll give you the number again, 0809-799-1989 is the number to dial if you have message for us, you have information for us, are you experiencing attack in your community and you want to give us a heads up or information so we can upscale it, just send it to that number. We also accept voice notes, video messages, pictures, just send it there, but make sure you properly label and attach it so that we can follow up. Remember also that if you are experiencing an attack in your community, you can do well to send us a GPS of the location where that attack is happening so that we can also respond by notifying the government agencies that have been saddled with the responsibility of providing security for these communities. Again, the number to dial is 0809-799-1989. You can also put a WhatsApp call through so that we can get talking right here on the program. And let's get back to our resource person. All right, talking about measures that have been put in place and how we can go about helping out with protecting and defending these communities. To a large extent, just like we have seen, it goes beyond the farmer herder issue. While most often than not, these communities tend to have, these attacks tend to have a religious coloration because the aggressors are from a particular religion and tribe also, and those that are the receiving end are from another particular one. Now, do you think that these religious colorations to these issues have any role to play in all of this, by your estimation? Hello, are you with us? We just briefly lost him. We'll reconnect back to him and get more feedback. Meanwhile, you can call in now. The number to dial is 0809-4646206. Okay, we are back with him. All right, hello. Okay, now, I was saying before you went off, do you think the religious coloration to this attack is something that should be of concern to us, the communities or the international community? Hello?
Yes, I didn't hear the question you just asked. Sorry, the network had been unfair.
Yes, the religious colorations to these particular issues we are having, because the aggressors seem to be from a particular religious group and tribe. Why those at the receiving end also seem to be from the other religious group? Do you think religion has anything to do with all of this attack? Is it a persecution? Is it a genocide? Or is it just an economic cleansing?
To really say whether it's genocide, whether it's all based on religious undertones, or it's just economic cleansing, is actually more or less extraying it from one particular dimension. But
yes, just a minute. Let's quickly see if this call is for us. Hello, good evening, and welcome to Truth to Life.
Hello,
good evening. You are welcome to the program.
I'm calling from Jama Local Government.
Okay, you are calling from Jama Local Government.
Yes.
You are a little bit low. Can you speak up a little bit more, please?
I'm calling from Jama Local Government.
All right. Would you like to tell us your name, or you want to keep it?
My name is Paul Adams.
Paul Adams from Jama Local Government area.
Yes.
All right.
I'm really impressed on this very program, and I want to chip in concerning the third caller. Like, you spoke about the fact seriously, the government really have to work hard. They have to deploy a lot of people to take on the I am calculating my thoughts that the last thing that happened there at that time, we have four guns close by, we have two people close by, we have military pilots close by.
Yeah.
But it was not unfortunately on that very day that if I had not stopped help raise raiders, extract the plan. And destroy a lot of things, kill people there. While we have to be there, we have to talk about the government here to fight, we have to command that all around. But it's not unfortunate. It's not unfortunate that all these things will happen. Even here, precisely in the center of the church, at the same time, the same thing will happen. But before the spirit is saying we'll go there, it's about 3 hours ago, 3 hours passed before the spirit comes in. So the government are not really trying, they really have to work at
Paul, is the security post close to where the attack happened?
Let me get it right.
The security post where the security man is expected to come from, how far away is it to where the attack happened?
Not too far away.
On a normal day, like how many minutes?
It's not about 5 minutes.
And it took them 3 hours to come on the day of attack.
On that day of attack, they take about 4 hours to 5 hours before they arrive.
Wow.
And when they have already come there and destroyed many properties, they scared everybody and ran back. But unfortunately, again, there wasn't any arrest, there wasn't anything that come up, nothing come up. So where are they coming from?
That's a big question that only those involved would be able to answer that. So, Paul, so sorry about what happened. You know what? Keep our number. Whenever there are issues like that, please, like I said earlier, send it as a voice message, a voice note to the number, and also do well. If there are videos and pictures, just push them to that number so that we can see how we can always prevail on the government to do that which is needful. Thank you so very much, Paul.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. You are listening to Truth to Power, a program that is designed to bring to fore issues happening in our vulnerable communities and also to amplify the voices of persons living in these vulnerable communities. Going back to our resource person, we'd like to take your parting shot now because we actually have barely 2 minutes before we wrap up the program.
Well, let me say that a state that actually has its public service driven on the recruitment, driven on sentiments about loyalty to any creed, ethnicity, or any form of belief other than the belief in the state actually stands no chance against anti-development issues. And as it is, it's quite important to ensure that while the state is actually appreciating all of the things happening, that we see a situation where the rule of law is something that citizens understand is at play and in place, and the cost of justice is actually free because government exists for the purpose of the citizenry. That is the hope we have for a national, for a nation like Nigeria today and always, because our constitution really upholds the rights of all Nigerians and certainly oppose the rights of all Nigerians to access to services, to infrastructure, you know, to security, and that their welfare is guaranteed. That is actually the expectations, and we will just keep hoping that we will see a government that is addressing criminality as it develops really at the grassroots before allowing it to escalate into any of these other undertones that certainly sets the society on a precipice.
All right, thank you so very much for being with us on the program this evening. Thank you. Hoping that next time I'll be able to get through to you and we will talk more on the issues that is happening in our vulnerable communities in Middle Belt of Nigeria. Thank you very much.
I'm most grateful too. Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Truth to Power, a program where we bring up issues happening in our vulnerable communities and, of course, how we can amplify their voices and provide solutions to issues that they are having. And before we wrap up the program today, this is just to let you know that the issues of farmer-herder clashes, and, of course, the one that also has a ethnic and religious colorations to it, is one that is becoming a recurring decimal. Take, for example, just last year in Kaduna State, the then Commissioner for Internal Security and Home Affairs, Samuel Arua, said that no fewer than 214 persons were killed as a result of attacks by terrorists, communal clashes, violent attacks and reprisal across the state. During the period under review, he said 196 males were killed, while women accounted for 14 deaths, and 4 minors were killed as a result of sundry attacks in Kaduna State alone. When we look at Plateau State, Benue State, Nasarawa State, and other states where we have this communal or religious or ethnic cleansing happening, then you will know that the picture is not something that is pleasant to the eye. Until next time, when I'll be on again on the program Truth to Power, call me the Peacemaker. You have any issues in your community and you want us to talk about it or know about it, all you need to do is send us a message on 0809-799-1989. You can send us pictures, you can send us videos, you can send us voice notes or just text messages. Whichever one is convenient for you, send it. We'll definitely receive it. And like I said, if you have the ability to send off your geolocation, that's your GPS of where you are communicating with us from, we will greatly appreciate that too. As we go, we'll tell you, make sure you keep yourself safe, and as always, ensure that you say a prayer to your neighbor, because you never can tell who would be next in line. I am the peacemaker.